forever impeached but never removed, Donald Trump has survived his trial in the Senate. What are we going to talk about now? Ed Blakely and myself, Sean Britton, talk the latest news and politics from out of the land of the free and the home of the brave. Subscribe wherever you find the podcast and check us out on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. Acquitted, exonerated, absolved of all sins, may flights of angels send him to his rest. Republicans have voted not to remove Donald Trump from office, almost perfectly along party lines. Ed, any surprises here?
Well, there were two surprises. One, that Romney was by himself. I thought Collins and Murkowski would have been with him. That surprised me. Had they been with him, it would have been a much tighter, been like 51 to 50. But as it was pretty tight. It's not as though he got exonerated. It was he just got past the bar. It's kind of like winning a trial because one of the statute was recited properly. He just got over the line, and I think everybody knows it.
Well, Mitt Romney, as you say, the only Republican to actually vote against Trump on abuse of power, the only one to feel there is a stand to be taken here, calling Trump's actions an appalling abuse of public trust. How much should we read into Romney's stand, and how much will Trump make him pay?
Well, Trump can't make him pay, really. Romney's in for another 5 years, and there's nothing Trump can do except take things away from people in Utah where he'd lose votes. So he'll say some nasty things on Twitter, and that'll be it. But Romney's positioned himself to run for president.
The stench of impeachment may cling to Trump and his legacy. Remains to be seen, of course, what that means in 2020. But I feel Trump really has remade the government in his own image. He is the CEO of the company. All the underlings now answer to him, not the country. And
that's
Democrats
absolutely right.
Democrats are just a rival corporation as far as their actions are concerned.
Well, a rival rabble, not a corporation. they are so disorganized, it's hard to believe. And Trump, he only needs a little bit of organization to defeat them. And that is a crying shame. There's no doubt about that.
Mm. And Nancy Pelosi, we'll mention Pelosi again in a moment, but she's released a statement which says, among other things, today the president and Senate Republicans have normalized lawlessness and rejected the system of checks and balances of our Constitution. Now, just on this as well, the Iowa Senator Joni Ernst, Republican Senator, also made headlines with comments she now claims were out of context, that if Joe Biden were to win the presidency in 2020, Republicans would immediately launch impeachment proceedings against him. It's just very hard for me to see, if you're the average American voter, how you can have faith in the checks and balances of the Constitution and not just see these things as purely partisan exercises in future.
Well, we don't know about the future, and I wouldn't speculate it on very much. It's so hard to remove a president. I think trying to do this is so difficult that I think people will be very careful about it, where angels dare to tread. I don't see this as setting any precedent at all. This man was so lawless and too far out of the pale. It's ridiculous. And of course, the Republicans would, of course, have to have some reason for doing this, and they can't do it while he's out of office, and they can't do it when he's in office, because you have to impeach him for what he's done in office, so they can't impeach him for what he did out of office. That's not even a constitutional standard. So she was just, she must have had a windbag on her head.
State of the Union, Trump was told not to mention his impeachment, and lo and behold, he actually listened. In terms of the speech, what did we learn, Ed? Anything new?
Well, this was a rally. This was his Milwaukee rally or his Iowa rally, something like 31 falsehoods, an attempt to reach voters. He had some black voters stand up and be recognized, and soldiers and things like this. I have not seen a speech like this that was so non-presidential. It was more like a barnstormer out of the 19th century giving an oration on some snake oil. It was not a decent speech, and nothing will come of it because there wasn't anything in it.
Mm. Just one thing, though, to expand on there that you mentioned, black voters. A good chunk of the speech this year seemed to be trying to get black Americans on side. It's not a group that Trump is particularly popular with. I mean, how likely is it to work if Trump starts pitching himself to black Americans now?
Well, it could work in one of two scenarios. One, if Bernie Sanders is the standard bearer, and the other one, if Buttigieg is the standard bearer. Black Americans don't like either one of those people. The first one, because he's a callous socialist that blacks don't really care for. Blacks want to make their way in the capitalist system. And the second, because he's gay. Both of these are not good reasons, but there'll be reasons for blacks to stay away from the polls. And this is what Trump's trying to do, not to get blacks to vote, but to stay away, to even out that balance where he's going to lose in the suburbs.
And just finally, Nancy Pelosi got a lot of attention last year for her rather sarcastic clapping at Trump's State of the Union. Seemed to be trying to create a similarly tweetable moment, fairly blatantly, I would have thought, by taking to the stage and tearing Trump's speech in half once he sort of wrapped things up. It's a pretty aggressive moment. Any thoughts?
Well, I think there are a couple of things. He is president of the United States, and things that you do to address the president of the United States that are dishonorable hurt the presidency, and Nancy should have thought of that. She may not like Trump, but she shouldn't do anything to make the next people who have a president in front of them feel they can do anything to dishonor that office. So Nancy, boo-boo, you get a slap on the hands from me.
Look, I did want to take a step backward from all this political theatre, because you and I, we do talk a lot about the theatrics, the trial, the speech this week. Well, we're going to talk about Iowa in a moment, but just in terms of this this government, just what the hell has the government actually done lately? What have they actually achieved of late?
Well, there are a couple of things that they achieved kind of through the back door. The first is NAFTA. They've got that treaty through. The second is they passed a whole bunch of regulatory issues that really advanced trade, and China's gotten through, the China trade deal's gotten through. But on the hard issues that affect Americans in a daily way, almost nothing. They haven't been able to do anything about drugs. Trump talks a good game there. He says he wants a drug bill. And behind the scenes, he's telling the drug companies, we're not going to have any drug bill. You can pretty much do what you want. And if we get one, we're going to make it something that applies to the world so we can send our drugs around the world. There is no agenda for the American people emanating from Trump, and there's barely one from the Democrats.
Moving on to Iowa, it was meant to be the first big indicator of the primary season. Instead, avid political watchers were left with a great big disappointment as results failed to come through. What went wrong?
Well, it doesn't matter what went wrong. The question is here, democracy and the Democrats were in shambles. Now, this will be used for the rest of the campaign season to say the Democrats are in shambles, so vote for our guy. At least he's got his act together. This was a very destructive, a very bad act. And when you stop to think about it, the Democrats haven't got a candidate that really they can unite behind yet. Part of that is Hillary's fault. Joe would have been very viable last time. Part of that is the political party's fault, that the party itself has not exerted much in the way of leadership over its brothers and sisters. Part of that is that for the first time, the far left has a very strong position, and their position is always to be rabble-rousing rather than to have specific programs. For example, the Green Agenda. Well, what is really the program there? Meat and potato issues that were the hallmark of the Democratic Party seem to have gone by the by side. So Iowa is emblematic of that and nothing else. It's not bad technology. It's bad political systems.
Now, just based on the results we've got coming through, this is obviously doubly a shambles for the Biden campaign. The Biden campaign will be asking themselves what went wrong even with the results, Biden describing them as a gut punch. Now, Sanders has done well, but it's not the undeniable victory dance he wanted, while Mayor Pete Buttigieg is coming to the fore. What do we learn from those ones?
I didn't learn anything from that. I think that Pete up close is probably a really interesting young man. But he's certainly not a president, not, at least not in my voting capacity. And Sanders is a show. So the show and a little bit of character won the day. And this is because Biden and the others were so still. That means they just stood up straight, said some things that didn't make any sense to the average voter, and people were turned off by them, not on by them. Biden has to find a way to turn the voters on. He hasn't done it, and it's looking like he may not do it. And we have to think about this. There's several other candidates who are trying to buy this office. One of them's Bloomberg, and the other Spears. Buying the presidency is the worst possible thing that could happen now, particularly after we have a president who feels he's bought the job and can do anything he wants. So what I fear is there will not be a quality candidate, a person who could be president. Not a store-bought mannequin, but a real president. We haven't found that person yet.
Across the pond, Brexit, the UK hasn't fallen into the ocean just yet. What's going on?
Well, that's because the tide's down. When the tide comes up, the ocean will be all over them. There are celebrations by both sides in this. The people who thought they won something by exiting Brexit and the people who were discouraged because they've exited Brexit. I fear that the next several years, I'm talking about 3-4 years in the UK, will be a post-Brexit hangover, where both sides are angling to kill the other side rather than paying attention to the needs of Great Britain. And as I've said before, Great Britain's trade policies are what's in danger here, because Great Britain's best trade is with Europe, where its intellectual trade is so strong. It's power as a engine for stocks and bonds is being eroded and has been eroded since the internet started. Its capacity to be the home for major industries is almost gone. So let's focus on what Great Britain can be and should be. And it wouldn't matter whether you're in the union or not. Very soon, you'll find a lot of people who are calling for something like a confederation, economic confederation, call it what you will, like the Scandinavians have worked out with the EU, because there's no other game in town. Lastly, Trump is already taking shots at him. So don't think you're going to cuddle up to the United States and get a good deal. And I don't think any future president's going to give them much of a deal, particularly after the way Trump snuggled up to the dismantling of the European Union.
And actually, just on that topic, the potential of dismantling, a lot of the focus has been on Great Britain and what they will do next, on the effects Brexiting will have on the UK. But the European Union, where is it headed now that the UK is officially out? How are they going to maintain their membership now that Brexit has been and done?
Well, I don't think the UK has been out for some time. It's kind of like a marriage. We say, well, we haven't got the divorce papers signed yet, but we're divorced. We're living in different houses already. And I think they're living in different houses already. The problem is they're a couple that are middle income couple. That is, the two incomes you are doing all right. You can send the kids to school, to private schools. You can drive a nice car. But with one income apiece, all of a sudden you're down to a Ford. And you can't even repair it every week. So in the case of the EU, there's several broken tires. Italy, Spain, Greece. These tires are worn out. And the tire they exchange for that, Turkey, is flat. So the EU doesn't have a lot of places to go. China was one of those places the EU was looking to. But this virus, I think, in a sense, is the canary?
Canary in the coal mine.
In the coal mine. The canary's loose now, disease-carrying canary. and it's been shown that if this canary gets sick, the coal mine collapses. So I think this notion that Europe could save the EU is collapsing. The Europeans haven't got enough wealth to deal straight up with them. And I mean all of Europe, including Russia.
And just finally, I mean, we've just lost a great big chunk of what we talk about each week. We don't have impeachment to talk about next week. New Hampshire polls are looking pretty similar to what we've seen in Iowa. What's next on the agenda?
Well, I think the thing that's next on the agenda is that there has to be a real focus. We started out several months ago talking about plausible candidates for the presidency. That has to be re-erected because we don't have a plausible candidate now. The other thing is the Congress has to go back in to business. How that's going to happen, it looks like if you look at Nancy here, she's torn up the path to peace. Trump has been humbled, and he's going to find a way to some kind of bill that does something in the healthcare area, probably the one on pharmaceuticals, which will be very light. So what we have is, purgatory. Mm. We're not in hell, we're not in heaven, but we're not moving forward very fast.
Ed and I will be back next week. We'll have to find something to talk about. Remember to subscribe, maybe drop us a review wherever you find the podcast, and check us out on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.